Now, I was brought up in the countryside. We had two neighbours. Up the road, a few yards up the road, was a farm. About 100 yards down the road was another farm. And the farmer up the road was, well, he's always seemed to me to be an elderly gentleman, although he probably wasn't that elderly when I was only a child. Well, he had a few cows and a few fields, and he had a vineyard. Of course, being in France, you have to have a vineyard. And he wasn't producing much wine, just for his own consumption and his family. It wasn't very good wine, but still it was an important part of the work, and the work at the harvest to gather the grapes and to turn them into grape juice, and then that would turn into wine. And for this occasion he would gather his family, and some of the neighbours, as ourselves, were invited, although we weren't in farming at all. We were invited to go and help. And it was a wonderful day. It only took a day. When it was, as I said, very small, and there was usually plenty of hands to help. Just a good day of hard work, hopefully in the sun, on the hillside, gathering all these grapes and then pressing them. And we'd have some food together at lunch. We'd have some food together then later in the afternoon. It was real time of rejoicing, a real time spent together as a community and as people. Although most of us nowadays live in towns or cities, we're in London, we forget what it is to live in the countryside. We've got to remember that when Jesus is speaking to people, he's speaking to people who were working the land. All of them had a piece of land. And it's always been the habit in most countries to get the people together at the time of harvest. So when Jesus is speaking here about a harvest and about getting together for the work and plenty for the work and a lack of workers, he was speaking to people who were used to working the land, who knew that it was hard work and who knew that they needed to come together in order to work, in order to gather their harvest, what was in their fields. We need to remember that. And in these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his disciples about the need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise workers for the work of the gospel. There are only three things, really, I'd like to highlight tonight in those verses relating to these words of our Lord Jesus Christ and his request to ask the Lord of the harvest, verse 38, to send out workers into his harvest field. And the three things I want to say, really, are very simple. First of all, there is a harvest. Then secondly, the harvest is the Lord's. And then thirdly, there is a lack of workers for the harvest. There is a harvest. This harvest is the Lord's. And there is a lack of workers for the harvest, which is why we need to pray for workers for the harvest. So first of all, there is a harvest. In these verses, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 35, going through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease, and seeing the crowds that come, that flock around him, to hear him preach, to see him perform miracles. We are told here that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The good shepherd looking at people around him in their lostness, in their spiritual need as well as their own physical needs as well. Having compassion on the people and seeing them as sheep without a shepherd. And in this context, then he says, the harvest is plentiful. I came last night from France. I flew from Brittany, from a small airport outside Saint-Malo, and it was flying to Stansted, and the flight was at 6:15, and 6:15 there was an announcement and that boarding would soon be started, and someone made a move and everybody followed to go in line. Well, some kind of line, we don't know what a queue is in France, so some kind of the French version of a queue. And since it's a small airport, you can see there's probably only 3 flights a day. If there are 3 flights a day, I think it's 2 flights every other day or somewhere like that. And I could well see there was no plane. The plane hadn't arrived. And yet what do? We just follow one of the sheep. That's what sheep do. One of the sheep makes a move, the others follow. And at that point I felt very much, well, that's exactly what we are, and how the Lord was seeing these people just flocking around and moving around. And we were behaving exactly like that as people yesterday, just queuing, waiting for this plane that hadn't arrived. Now the plane eventually arrived in time. It was for one of those low-cost companies. And if you've flown some of these companies, you know that they're very efficient. In half an hour, they empty the plane, and the people are back, that the people going the other way are on the plane, and we've gone, and we were gone at 6:15, amazingly. And so in less than half an hour, the plane was emptied of its people and all the luggage, and then they put all the luggage back and more people in, and we were on our way to London. The Lord sees the crowds as sheep without a shepherd. And he compares that to the harvest that is to be gathered, the work of the gospel. And the question really is, how do you look at the world around you? How do you look at people in your neighborhood, on your way to work, if you take public transport? It's very tempting to just put your iPod on your ears and just listen to music. It's very tempting to just go into your book. It's a long journey. You've got, I don't know, how long does it take you to go to work? Half an hour or maybe more. Sometimes it takes much more. And just look down. We're in London. We don't look at people around. And yet, people are just flocking around like sheep without a shepherd. There is a harvest of people around us who haven't heard the gospel. The good news and the faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom we are the chiefest. All these people who are around and need to hear. And of course, it's very easy to lack charity. We all can be guilty of that, and we are all guilty of that. Maybe it's a noisy neighbor, or it's just the rowdy crowds on Saturday evening. When I was coming, I'm staying in Finchley, and so I was going up the Northern Line, and obviously it was Saturday evening. The underground was packed with people going to Camden Town, and probably half the train got emptied out at Camden Town. All the people going out to the pubs and clubs and restaurants, and some people already started partying. They had their beers in their bags, and they were going out for a party. And we've all seen pictures, and we've all seen all these scenes in Britain of the binge drinking, and it's quite awful to see. And we can be guilty of developing a lack of charity towards these people. Yes, it's awful what's going on, but these people need the gospel. They are like sheep without a shepherd. We need to remember that those Saturday night crowds need to hear the good news. We need to remember that there is a harvest out there, and that this harvest is plentiful, says the Lord. And the challenge is, how do you look at people around you? How do I look at the people in my neighborhood? The people I meet at work, the people I work with. How do I look at them? The Lord says there is a harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Let us look at the people around us as they are people in need to hear the gospel, in need of salvation. So there is a harvest. It's the first thing that we see in the verses, in verse 37, the harvest is plentiful. That's what the Lord says in these verses. And then he says something interesting. In verse 38, he says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers. And that's the second thing we see in these verses. There is a harvest, and this harvest is the Lord's. The Bible tells us that God is the Lord who is sovereign over all things. This morning I read Psalm 115. And this is what the third verse says. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. That's the picture that the Bible tells us of God, who is in heaven, who does what he pleases. He is the sovereign God, the master of the universe, and the creator of all things. And we are his creatures. And the world is his. The world is not ours. The Lord is the great landlord, the great king who owns all things. And as the landlord, he is the one who appoints workers for his field, for his harvest. He's the one who sends people. He's the one who decides who is to go and do the work. He's the one who calls people for his work. When I was growing up, we moved house and we lived just a few miles away, still in the countryside, and one of our neighbors was very fond of gardening. Not flowers and things like that, although they had a lot of flowers. It was a vegetable garden with fruit and veg. And he had flexi hours in his job, so he'd go out work quite early in the morning, and he'd be back in the summer around 3, 3:30 in the afternoon. And he spent the rest of the afternoon until quite late in the evening in his garden. It was big. It was fruitful. And they had too many veg and fruits for their own consumption as a family, so they'd give some to the neighborhood. And then when they were going on holidays in the summer, what was going to happen to all these fruits and veg? What would you have done? Do you go and help yourselves in the neighbor's garden? Well, you don't do that in England. You don't do that in Wales. You don't do that in France either. You don't just go and help yourself, do you? We wouldn't do that, but he would go around and he would come and see us and the other neighbors and say, well, don't leave these vegetables. Just go and help yourselves. He's the one who would go and say, well, just go and do the work. We won't be here. We are not to help ourselves and to take our own initiative in the neighbor's garden. Are we going to go and help ourselves and take our own initiative in the Lord's work, in the Lord's field? And because we see the need, we see that there is a harvest, we just get on with it, let's go. That's the temptation, and we all have a responsibility to take part in this harvest and to work and to witness. But we need to remember that the harvest is the Lord's. I cannot do what I want, how I want it. He is the one who appoints people specifically for the work of the harvest. He is the one we are to pray to in order that he appoints and sends out workers into this field. And it's too easy to become pragmatic, and because we see the need, we just go head down right into it. And we forget to pray and to ask the Lord of the harvest, is that right? Are we supposed to be in that place when there's need also there, and there's need there, and down here, and in another corner? There's needs everywhere. And we are living in very pragmatic days, aren't we? Where, because we see the need, we just go head down. People have got the gifts, and, well, let's get on with it. But let's remember that the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. That's His field. He's the landlord. We need to respect that, and we need to pray and ask Him what's right and who's to go to do what. And then finally, we see in these verses that there is a lack of workers. Verse 37, He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." It's quite amazing to read the New Testament, isn't it? And to think that the church that by now is reaching out to the end of the world and has expanded so much started with only those 12 men that Jesus called in the following chapter. Only those 12 specific chosen people. In those days, of course, there were less people that lived on this planet, but still, they were the only ones following the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was so much work to be done. And we see that unfolding in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and then the book of Acts. Slowly, the church is growing. Then more and more people coming out. The church started with only 12 people, and they had this huge task in front of them. And then we see in history the church growing, and still the great need, because the population is growing at the same time and even faster. And here we are, 2011. And there is still a great need for workers. I think all of us who are in work situation or who have worked know what it means to be stretched by your work situation. Wherever you are working, it seems that there is a lack of workers. I worked in retail for a time. I worked in supermarkets in France and in this country. And especially when I was working in France, I worked in a French supermarket. I was on the delicatessen counter, slicing ham and serving customers. And initially, there was to be 3 people in the team so that we could rotate. One would open in the morning, prepare everything, would be there 5 or 6 o'clock, prepare for the opening at 8:30, and then she'd be there until maybe 11 or 11 or 12 o'clock maybe. Someone would come mid-morning to help her out and take over. And then someone else would come at 2:30 to do the rest of the afternoon and then up until 8:30 in the evening until the shop closed. Worked well. 3 was okay. Not quite enough. Ideally, we should have been 4. But we understood that sometimes it was really quiet and 4 maybe would have been too much, and the temptation is just to just chat around, and then if we're chatting, customers don't come, and the boss is not happy. And so 3 was okay until one of my colleagues just left. She found another job. So there was 2 of us left. So what does the boss do? What is he supposed to do? Find someone else? And Christmas was approaching quite fast. But there was only 2 of us. So we managed for a while, both of us, working hard, moaning a bit, but getting on with the job, and, well, we were doing some extra hours. That brings a bit more of money. It's not ideal. But then as the shop gets busier with Christmas approaching, we get stressed, and obviously my colleague had to come back and help me in the evenings, and by then she was doing some 45, 50 hours, I think, something like that. And one Saturday evening, we were closed on Sunday, so we had to clean everything on the Saturday and empty everything. So she came to help me out, and we just wanted to go home. just had enough, and in the hurry, she cut herself. If you're working with food, or if you've worked with food, you know that you cut yourself. She had a few stitches on one of the fingers, obviously, until it's healed, you can't work. So here I am, left on my own, Saturday evening, obviously quite upset at the boss that, obviously they haven't really been looking for someone. They tell us they can't find anything, but it seems to me that they haven't. And I'm quite clear with my colleague. If they phone me to be here at 5 on Monday morning, I'm not coming. But they didn't phone me. They found someone else. And by the middle of the following week, they found two people. But whatever job situation you are in, you know what it means to be stretched out, don't you? The lack of workers. And the person above you asking you to do the work for two people, for one and a half. It happens everywhere, and it's not going to get easier in the coming months and years, especially in this country with all the restrictions and things that are happening. And at every level it is, whether you're working as a waiter or working in an office in a high-power job, that is the case. And if you're in the work of the ministry, you know what it means to be stretched out. Because there is plenty of work to be done. Sermons to prepare, Bible studies to prepare, people to care for, needs that arise that you were hoping at last. I'm going to have a quiet week. I can get down to study, prepare a few sermons, maybe start preparing in advance. But obviously, there's a phone call at that point. Because the need is great and the workers are few. And it's the case wherever you are. The task is big. We hear of tens of millions of Chinese being converted and the church in China growing. You still have billions of Chinese that needs to be reached out to. I was reading recently on the BBC website the population in India. How many billion people? 1 point something billion people to be reached out to with the gospel. What about London? Maybe there's more churches in London that you have for the whole of France, I don't know. Not quite, but there's a lot of churches in London. Yet how many people who haven't come across a Christian, who haven't heard the gospel, who are still like sheep without a shepherd, and who need to hear the good news that Jesus Christ came to save sinners? It was quite amazing to come yesterday. It takes me more time to come from Stansted to Finchley Central than it takes for me to fly from Brittany to London Stansted. It's quite amazing to see these crowds of people from all kinds of origins. I know that. I've come to London several times, but I'm always struck by the richness of all these people. You hear all sorts of accents, people from India, from Africa, from the West Indies. I heard some French. Each time I come to London, I hear some French. There's a huge population of French people in London. Tens of thousands, I think. I'm not sure of the numbers. I could hear some Italian accents and all kinds of people, all these people who have come here, who come from countries where they haven't heard the gospel. Well, there's very little chances that they are going to hear the gospel. And yet there's so few of us. The task is big and we're not sufficient. Your pastor is not sufficient for these things. The pastor and the elders are not sufficient. LTS is not sufficient to provide for all the needs that there is. In the case of France, big country, twice as big as the UK, same population, only 0.5% Christians. Of the 2,000 and so evangelical churches in France at the moment, a lot of them without ministers, too small to support a worker. And of those who have a minister, Many of these ministers are from a generation who are about to retire. In Brittany, that's the case. A number of churches are without ministers, and a number of other churches are with pastors who are approaching retirement age. What do we do? What's going to happen to these churches? It's true everywhere. And so the Lord says in these verses, verse 38, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So let us pray that the Lord will raise workers for his harvest. The harvest is plentiful. There's plenty of work to be done. But it is his work. It is his field. We need to be aware of that. We need to remember that. And we need to come to him in prayer and to ask him to help those who are already in the field, who are feeling very insufficient, and who are very insufficient because we're only men. We need some sleep. We need some rest. And your pastor and other Christian workers need your prayers. But let's pray as well that the Lord will call some young people, or not so young people, to go and work into his harvest field, to care for his people, but also to reach out to the hundreds, the thousands, the millions who still need to hear about the good news. And the Lord answers prayers. UFM has a mission. For many years didn't have any workers in France. Then about 17 years ago, a Welsh missionary went to work out in the French Alps. She'd been working in French-speaking Africa for many years, and the Lord sent her to France, and here she was, the only UFM worldwide missionary there for a number of years. And I know that some people were praying for France and are praying for France. And slowly, the team has grown. Now we are the biggest of all the UFM teams. If you have a look behind at the literature there, there's people all over the world. Until recently, the biggest the country where we send most workers as a mission was Brazil. But now the French team has taken over. We've got Hisham and Elizabeth in Carcassonne. We've got three people working in Bordeaux. There's my wife and myself and our two colleagues working in Brittany. There's an Irish couple preparing to go, hopefully, God willing, in the coming summer, and to first learn French, and then we'll see where the Lord leads them in France. And there's another young lady who's doing a French degree in Glasgow University, and who's already accepted by UFM to go out into the field when she finishes her studies. So the Lord answer prayers. So let us pray for this country, for this city, for England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, and for Western Europe, where the need is so great. It's a great place to go on holidays. But if you want to find a church when you go on holidays, you need to play your part and to pray that the Lord will send workers into these harvest fields, because millions of French people still don't have any evangelical church in their town or nearby. As I was saying early on, one of our members drives 45 minutes to go to church. Now, in London, you can drive 45 minutes to go to church. Some do. And yet you drive past many churches. Well, this lady, she doesn't drive past any church because there's nothing else. So let's pray that the Lord will raise workers for his harvest. And he will answer. We trust that we see answers already to these